In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good evening. Welcome to the Mass of Corpus Christi. We're here today to celebrate the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at this time. And I want to remind you first that after this Mass, we're going to have a beautiful procession. I'm going to, at the conclusion of the sermon, to remind you of the organization thereof, so we don't have to do it at the end of Mass. We'll just seamlessly, as best we can, enter into that to be able to do so. Now, this week, I will not be around, so as the schedule of next week says that there is no Mass here within the parish, I'll still be offering Mass out, obviously, every day. I'll be on retreat for the next week. We'll have Mass, at least, on the following Wednesday. Not this upcoming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday is the next time we'll have Mass here within the parish on a weekday. Father Sinner will be here covering both parishes for the weekend, which is to come. Do keep us in prayer, particularly as next Saturday, so a week from today, I'll be having a beautiful wedding Mass for a young lady who is connected with our parish and actually feels like she's a part of us, even though she's maybe only went to one Sunday Mass in her entire life here with us. She remembers us in her contributions as well, which is also something that we can greatly appreciate also. So that's very good. A focused missionary who gives her life to making sure that young men and women, particularly in the university age, are able to find Christ and to live out in the Eucharist intensely, as is their goal. Beyond that, I don't think we have anything else going on this upcoming week until we get back. But remember, the last Tuesday of the month is when we will be having the baptismal class for those who still need to help somebody get baptized, whether as a sponsor or as a parent of the baptized. Listen to the words of the Gospel from John 6. Our Lord says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Just as the living Father has sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds upon me will have life because of me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In the early ages of Christianity was an illegal religion. You couldn't practice it. If you were to profess Christ as king, if you were to be those who were followers of Christ, then you yourself would be deemed an enemy of the state. And during the 3rd century, the Emperor Valerian began a very heavy persecution of the early Christian church, and seeking to wipe it out because they were a new fanatical religion that didn't worship as the Jews accused the Christians of not worshiping the God of their fathers, and so they were turned over for the death penalty. You see, the Romans didn't want anybody to worship anybody other than the gods of their fathers because they superstitiously believed that abandoning the gods of your fathers would somehow bring the wrath upon the Roman people as well. So the Jews turned Christians over saying this is not the same God. And so Christians entered into many ages of persecution. During this 3rd century, under the Emperor Valerian, not only celebrated the Mass in secret in private homes, but they also did so in the catacombs. And to those who were unable to receive Holy Communion, those who were the sick, those who were in prison, for them to be able to taste the bread of heaven, the Eucharist, became a very dangerous task indeed. It was one particular day in the city of Rome where, after celebrating Holy Mass, the priest, it was actually the Pope, asked the people who were there, gathered around, who is prepared to take the Eucharist to our brothers and sisters who are waiting for the body and blood of Jesus? Who will bring our Lord to them? And this particular day, no volunteers. Nobody was willing to take the Eucharist to those who were not only sick, but those who were in prison, awaiting their own martyrdom. Everybody was afraid that they themselves would be caught in doing so, and being caught, that they themselves would be on the other side of the bars, facing their own death. With silence all around, until one 12-year-old boy raised up his hand, stood up and said, "Holy Father, Pope, send me. I'll take our Lord to the prisoners." And everybody pushed him aside and saying, "No, young man, you're 12 years old. You're too young for such a task in this way. You're barely receiving Holy Communion yourself. Leave this up to somebody who knows what they're doing." And with a deeper zeal and courageous warrior zeal, this young boy by the name of Tarsissus said, "My youth will be the best shield for the Eucharist." And at this, the priest, who was the Pope at that particular Mass, stroked his beard and said, "That's interesting." And before giving him the precious body of Christ held within the pyx, he turned to young Tarsissus and said, "Tarsissus, you remember this, that the heavenly bread, the treasure of God, has been given and entrusted to your weak hands. So avoid crowded streets. Do not forget that holy things must never be thrown to dogs or pearls or pigs. Will you guard the sacred mysteries of our faith safely and with your life?" Tarsissus looked at the Holy Father, the Pope, with determination in his eyes, and he said, "Yes, Holy Father, I would rather die then release the Eucharist to those who would destroy him. And with that, he placed the sacred golden pyx within his hand containing the Eucharist for those prisoners who were preparing for their own martyrdom. And he went away. Tarsus went through the streets and he followed all the prescripts of the Holy Father to the T, making sure that he would avoid the crowded streets, but going a roundabout way. He was remembering that he was carrying God within his own hands and clutched the pyx closely to his chest at every moment, realizing that here was our Lord, and he was entrusted with a sacred task, and nothing would deter him from completing this mission. When he was going by the way, some of his friends happened to see him going through, and they began to call out to him, "Tarsus, Tarsus, come play with us, come join in games." But Tarsus, determined on his way, paid them no heed and just kept moving and tried not to make eye contact so that he could keep upon his way. But these pagan boys began to grow suspicious about him, insistent at his refusal, and realized that he was clasping something within his hands, held there upon his chest. They began wondering about that. What was he protecting? What was he doing? He's acting unlike he usually does, who so frequently joins within their games, and so they tried to pull it away from him. He said, "Tarsus, show us what that is. This is Sunday, and on Sunday, that's when you Christians go out to meet. Could this be the mysteries that somehow he has there, these hidden things which the Christians consume that they say they're eating their own God? Could this be?" So they called out to Tarsus and said, "Is that the mysteries that you're holding? Is that your sacrament which is there? Show us what this is. Show us what it is that you all do that we cannot receive, nor be in the presence of the Mass when it is celebrated. Show us what this is." And he clutched it all the harder, this time taking a second hand above his heart and holding it close. And he says, "No, let me go, let me go. Let me go. I have something to do. I'll play with you another day, but today I must be about something else. Let me go." And as they tried to do so, one by one, they said, "It truly is him. He has it within his hands. He is but a weak boy. Let us see if we can take it from him." And so reaching upon him and falling upon him, these strong men and boys, some as old as 18 years old, began to pull and to tug upon him and to seek to rip his hands away. Others of them in the back began to throw stones at him, instinctively thinking that if they were to threaten him in this way, he would release and go away like a young boy would. But as the stones proceeded to strike and to strike him over and over again, he would not go. And finally, one glanced his head and knocking him to the ground. Tarsus began bleeding. At this, they said, "Surely now he's unconscious. We can take it from him and see what these mysteries really are." And as they went to pull his hands apart from them, leaping upon him, one by one, each one tried, but they could not move his hands. Cemented to his chest, were they? As hard and hard as they tried with all their strength to be able to rip this golden pyx from this boy who seemed to be lifeless at this time, and yet his hands would not release their grip. At this, they saw a soldier coming by, turning around the corner as they were in an alleyway. And at this, the boys scattered each to its different way as this centurion, this soldier, approached the boy. They didn't want to be caught with blood on their hands. And as they went there, this soldier saw the boy and recognized him, for he too was at Mass earlier that day. Happening upon him, he realized that this was Tarsus, the young boy, whose zealous courage was greater than his, for he was willing to take the Eucharist to the prisoners, for he himself often was given to guard the prisoners, and yet he had not the courage. So there, realizing what was held within his hand, he himself tried to pull back his hands that he might give the Eucharist to the prisoners, which he refused to take earlier that day. But as tried as he might, this mighty man of war, he himself could not open up the hands of this boy, who now lay lifeless upon the ground. Realizing that he could do nothing here, all he could do was bring him back to the Holy Father, the Pope. And so carrying him within his own arms, this lifeless boy presented him once again to the Pope, saying, here he is, Tarsus. Young Tarsus, though not having completed his mission, was faithful to his charge to the end. And there in the presence of the Pope, handing the boy over, all the Pope did was place his hand upon those small hands of that 12-year-old boy, Tarsus. And immediately, they became soft and docile and released the pyx held beneath. And they are offering to the Pope these mysteries which he had consecrated here within the Eucharist, released them, making sure that none would touch the Eucharist unworthily, that the Eucharist would not fall into the hands of the enemies of Christ. What we have here is an ancient saint from the 3rd century who has become the patron saint of first communicants, patron saint, a lover of the Eucharist. The question for you today and for me: are we as convinced the reality of the presence of God in the Eucharist as is the boy Tarsus. When you and I seek to receive our Lord, do we have the same courage as does he? Do we demonstrate the same respect as this 12-year-old boy did? Do we make sure that we recognize that when we contain Christ, we're holding a sacred mystery, not to be exposed to anything profane or illicit? Each and every one of us, when we come to Holy Communion, every single time we approach Mass, we receive the same Lord. We receive him totally there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He is truly, really, and actually substantially present. It is the bread of heaven. It is not a bread which nourishes our flesh, but a bread which nourishes our souls, to become God himself incarnate with us. Do you protect him? Do you speak to him? Do you cling to him? So too as did young Tarsus. Would you yourselves be willing to carry him to prisoners? Would you be willing to bring him to those who have not the Lord? And when you go from here, do you recognize that when you receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity within your body, that he remains substantially present there for a great period of time? Do you love him even as you go out from this church? When you leave this church, what do you do? Do you go about busy ways? Do you go about in crowded places? Do you go about exposing to profane and illicit music, fashions, and things of the sort? Or do you recognize that you have become a pix yourself? And so too, you must guard yourself so long as our Lord in his real presence remains within you. St. Tarsus recognized this fact. The scientists tell us that when you receive Holy Communion, that he remains substantially present within you for a quarter of an hour, there within your belly. You become, in essence, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who carried our Lord within his womb. And so, do you love him throughout that whole of that quarter hour there, or just merely in the few seconds after you receive him? Do you meditate upon his great mysteries when you are there listening to the beautiful Eucharistic hymn, or waiting for the next part of the Mass to go, longing to receive him all the more to welcome him within your soul? Do you grip him and cling to him, realizing that he, the source of your salvation, has now taken habitation within your own self? Truly, he is there. Verily, he rests within you for that quarter hour, and wishes to remain with you all the longer within, even beyond when his substantial presence has been incorporated into your own flesh through the gastric acid and all sorts of bodily processes which incorporate him into you. Our Lord really is within you when you receive the precious body and blood of our Lord here within the Eucharist. Tarsus is not just a story fabled long ago or something to be thought about piously on particular occasions within our lives, but you and I, each of us, are called to the same sort of valiant love of Christ who is here. At the conclusion of this Mass, we will take our Lord. We will take our Lord and process with him through the streets. And with a whole retinue to protect him, we do not crowd back, pull back from those busy streets within our town. For we want him to be displayed and his love to be known, for his presence to be recognized and to be adored even by those who do not come to Mass, who do not recognize God's love here with us in the Eucharist. And in that procession, we will sing beautiful hymns of praise to his glory, recognizing that he is our Lord and our God. I want to teach you one particular hymn right now. You have it there within your pews. There's a copy of it, each of you there. It's the first hymn. It's a beautiful and old hymn within the church. Some of you may know it, but I don't think we've come, even in these 5 years, which we commemorate me being your priest here this week, I don't think we've come to know this hymn. It's the first hymn. It says, "Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all." I want to teach it to you now so that when we go forth from this place into procession, that we will have it upon our tongues and be able to sing it, or to be able to pray it and then to live it. You have the words before you, so I need not teach you them. But now I will offer you the hymn. It begins, "Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, how can I love thee as I ought? And how revere this wondrous gift, so far surpassing hope or thought? Sweet sacrament, we thee adore, oh, make me love thee more and more. Oh, make me love thee more and more." So now you have the hymn, the tune. We'll go into the second verse. "Had I but Mary's sinless heart, to love thee with my dearest King, oh, with what burst of fervent praise thy goodness, Jesus, would I sing. Sweet sacrament, we thee adore, Oh, make us love thee more and more. Oh, make us love thee more and more. The third verse. Thy body, soul, and Godhead all, O mystery of love divine, I cannot compass all I have, for all thou hast and art are mine. Sweet sacrament, we thee adore, O make us love thee more and more. O make us love thee more and more. Sweet sacrament, we thee adore. O make us love thee more and more. O make us love thee more and more. So what is this song all about? The song is saying nothing other than what? That our Lord is everything. That our Lord is not just everything that exists within the universe, but he wishes to be your everything and my everything. And he wishes us to recognize what greatness that he is within the Eucharist, that he remains with you and me. As we go upon this procession this day, ask our Lord to live out these lyrics. They're here for you, and to take them after this Mass, to go and to pray with these. During this week, we will not have time of Mass at all. The Mass, in one sense, will be taken from you and me. It will be as though you and I, or rather you, not I, being without the Mass within our community, are in prison, awaiting something. Think frequently upon the soul of Saint Tarsissus, the great saint of the Church, and ask him for the grace to hold close, to cling near to Christ during these days. You have these words of Eucharistic devotion and praise. Pray with them. Spend time, whether in your home or within the church, in moments when it is unlocked. And there, declare your love to Christ, asking him to grant you the grace to love him as you ought. To conclude the sermon, if you can, whether in the proper tune or even within your own words, monotone, let us pray together that first verse of that first hymn. Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, how can I love thee as I ought? And how revere thy wondrous gift, so far surpassing hope or thought? Sweet sacrament, we thee adore. O make us love thee more and more. O make us love thee more and more. Sweet sacrament, we thee adore. O make us love thee more and more. O make us love thee more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.